I was really taken by an article on Daily Maverick that I read earlier today. Taken because it goes counter to most of what I hear and read when it comes to the public service. It's by Ivor Chipkin, who is director of the Government and Public Policy Think Tank, and he is on the line to us now. Ivor, a very good afternoon.
Thanks, John. Nice to have me. Thanks for having me, rather.
Huge pleasure. I mean, the sort of predominant conversation around public servants is reduce the public service wage bill and reduce the size of the public service. That's an absolute given for any kind of economic recovery from South Africa. You say, not that.
Well, I'm saying, of course, in principle, that would be a great thing to do. I think the size of the public service is too large given where we are as a country. Having said that, comparatively, for the size of the economy we have, the complexities of South African society, I don't think the public service is especially large. But nonetheless, I think there's space to trim. The point that I was really trying to make is that in the current situation, is it reasonable? Is that a fight which we really want to have? And I don't think it's a winnable fight. So that's really the point that I was trying to make. In the current context, the argument really is that with the really appalling levels of economic growth that you've had over the last decade or so, effectively the new middle class, the black middle class, is the public service. This is where a large proportion of black middle class people are working. So to declare a moratorium on wages in the public service to try and reduce the size of the public service effectively means, what I say, declaring war on the black middle class. Now, I don't think that's a fight that's winnable, and I think there are other fights worth having, but not that one.
Yeah, you say reducing the number of public servants or public service wage means effectively declaring war on the black middle class. It simply won't happen. And one of the things that you think should happen instead is that the public service should become more effective. And I'm tempted to say in response, it simply won't happen.
Look, the troubling thing about the public service is its size. The opportunities in the public service are precisely its size. So there's tremendous diversity in the public service, both of people but also of organizations. Hundreds of departments, various agencies. Some of them are moribund. Some of them are absolutely dysfunctional. Certainly some of them are appallingly corrupt, but not all of them are. Municipalities, everyone likes to trash municipalities in South Africa. The truth is it's very, very uneven. Even those municipalities that get regularly poor audit outcomes, for example, are not necessarily performing poorly in terms of their mandate. They're performing poorly in terms of collecting and storing invoices and things like that. So the picture is much more uneven on the ground. What I'm saying is there are a couple of interventions which it's possible to make, which one could dramatically improve the kind of value which the public service could offer. So that's really the large argument.
Yeah, I mean to go to what you wrote, if it is unrealistic to reduce the wages or number of civil servants, it is not unrealistic to get better value from them. And no. You know, I would argue that the last 12 years suggests that it is going to be an incredibly difficult thing to get better value from civil servants.
Difficult, but less difficult than declaring war on the middle class, in my argument, okay. In my estimation. So there are a couple of no-brainers, which I think can be achieved fairly easily. One of them, for example, is, which is one of the current themes, of which has been one of the dominant trends of the ANC government, a lot like the National Party before it, for example, is the politicization of our administrations. Cadre deployment, for example. But more than cadre deployment, we've put in place a whole range of measures and regulations which allow public servants to be employed largely on political grounds rather than a measure of their competence and their capacity. That can be changed very, very quickly. It requires, in the first instance, it requires just simply an instruction from the president to his ministers to back away from operational matters, to get out of the operations of departments. And this can be done, for example, by ministers delegating operational authority to their director general. Of course, it means handing over to administrations which fundamentally we don't always trust. But nonetheless, it's the first step in starting to break this vicious cycle of politicization and further politicization to overcome the politicization of the previous period. So there are interventions. Yes,
it sounds perfect. Yes, let's make that happen. But boy, it's going to be difficult to make that happen. The SIU is reporting that 13%, they are reporting 13% of the Eskom staff for doing business, sending tenders to friends, things which potentially are seriously problematic. That's 5,000 people within Eskom are suspicious in terms of the way they conduct their public service. And all right, some of those allegations will be untrue, but then again, other allegations which could have been made won't have been picked up. So that seems then a reasonable figure, that there are 5,000 people within Eskom who are more concerned with feathering their own nests than they are carrying out their public duty function. And the same would be true of other elements of the public service at national, provincial, and particularly municipal level. And how do you get that many people to start thinking of the public they are supposed to serve rather than the nest feathering that many of them are busy with?
So I think one can't. And I think, and this is the point of the argument that the paper's made, is that I think what we're going forward, what South Africa is going to start looking like, is a place of tremendous unevenness and of variation. It means that there are parts of the country which are going to continue to be subject to broken, dysfunctional, corrupt administrations. But there are some parts of the country where, if we are able to mobilize successfully, and I want to come to that point in a moment, where it might be possible to get better value from public servants. And I think, therefore, we're going to see this tremendous unevenness across the country.
Mm.
Remember, the argument that I'm making is that we can't rely on government or the president to drive through the reforms that are needed. I think that's pie in the sky. And there I would completely agree with you. What I'm saying, though, which we've done in the past, we did it in the 1980s, we did it in the 1990s, we did it recently with the question of state capture, and that is through the mobilization of civil society. Civil society has not been particularly active and mobilized around questions of public administration, around questions of monitoring, measuring, holding to account public servants. Has been preoccupied with other things, understandably. What I'm arguing is that the new renewal can potentially be driven by a new kind of civil society activism, one which takes seriously that our focus should be on government administrations, on public servants themselves, monitoring politicians so they don't get involved in operations, that they toe the line, monitoring and checking up on public servants that they're doing their job according to the rules and according to the law, to make sure that they're delivering what their policies and what their projects are saying that they should do it. So my sense is that the drive, the momentum for reform cannot come from government. It will not come from our political parties, but potentially it could come from what I say rather ambitiously, a thousand blossoms bloom around civil society interventions, and this potentially is the way forward. Look, let me just say this: the situation in South Africa is dire. It is bleak. I think we're in an existential struggle. I think, you know, people talk about falling off the cliff. I think we're off the cliff. We're falling. It's a question of the extent of the crash when we hit the ground. I think that one of the ways of moderating the effects of the crash is through a new form of activism in South Africa, and that's really what the argument is calling for.
I mean, one thinks of, I'm thinking immediately of Section 27 and the way they monitor particularly how the government operates in the educational field and the way they use the courts to force the government to resume the school feeding scheme, which had been put on hold during COVID-19. So that's the sort of thing essentially you're talking about.
Absolutely. There used to be all sorts of interventions in the Cape, for example, around civic organizations monitoring whether service providers were cleaning toilets as they'd been contracted to do. So that kind of civil society engagement. The problem is, though, that many of our big civil society organizations are urban-based or large in the metropolitan areas. A lot of the real crisis of service delivery is outside the cities. So we need to support community-based organizations. We need a new kind of activism throughout the country, but it's precisely the kinds of things which you just mentioned now, which Section 27 has been doing.
Ivor Shipkin, thank you very, very much indeed. Ivor is Director of the Government and Public Policy Think Tank, better known by its initials, GAPP or GAP.